Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Well, thank you for everyone that's able to make it out this morning. In particular, our visitors, we're so happy that you're able to come out and worship the Lord with us. We're so very grateful and an honor to have you here. This morning, before we continue with service, this is going to be a little different than normal. Pastor had already kind of primed us on Wednesday, and so if you're here on Wednesday, you kind of know what's kind of going to go on to some extent. But anyway, I wanted to introduce something that's new to this church body. It's going to be a great thing to help us move forward, and so we're going to officially be kicking off the My Church app. And so for here at the UPC of Paris. So as a part of this transition, starting today, just so you are aware, if you are using the Remind app, it will go away, it will fade out, it will be obsolete for our congregation. Now, it may be used for emergency situations just in case, but it's not necessary. We are transitioning away from that. It will be obsolete. So also all future future announcements, updates, communication will come directly through the My Church app. So this allows us to simplify communication. It's going to allow us to keep everyone in one place and make sure no one misses any important and crucial information. So this app is not about technology just for technology's sake. It has purpose behind it. So it's about connection. It's about communication. And it's about, more importantly, community. We have community here as we come to this building, but community is much more than that. So the goal is very simple. Our goal is to make it easier for you to stay informed, involved, and connected throughout the week, not just on Sundays. So what does this app do, right? That's why are we doing all this? So the My Church app will become our main hub for announcements, events, service schedules, and ministry communication. It will also be where you can join groups, submit prayer requests, give securely, and access sermon notes and messages, plus many other things. Instead of wondering what's coming up or missing an announcement, everything will now be in one place for you to be able to go out there, get it the information when you need it, right? So, integration, right? How are we going to do this? Also, I want to be very clear. We're not planning to use every aspect of the system immediately. For the first few months, we're basically using it as a trial run to get up to speed and for everyone to be able to use the system the right way. So for there will be some learning, some adjusting, and getting comfortable just in general from on the back end to administration to actual you guys using it. But the core simple aspects of it will be there immediately. So as we move forward, more features and functionality will be added at the pace that serves the church the best, right? So there's no pressure to know everything now at all. This is a process, and we'll just take steps. We'll have hand in hand on this together. So nobody's alone. So if you feel segregated from because of this, because of maybe just lack of technological skill, it's no big deal. You're not going to get left behind. Nobody wants to get left behind, right? But we won't leave you behind. We'll be hand in hand together. So. So at this moment, I'm going to prep the media team. We do have a slide to go up, as you can see there. So as I'm sure from pastor's perspective, it is maybe pretty odd to look out and see people on their phones, right? From my perspective, I hope to see you on your phones. So if you would, take your phone out. If you don't have it already, there are two QR codes here. One is for the Apple Store. One is for Google Play Store. You can scan it, or if your camera's, you got a potato out there and you can't focus from that far away, just text. It has it on the board. Text all together UPC Paris app to 77977, or you can take a picture of it. Do it later. After service, I'll be downstairs by this table right out here. If you have any questions, most of our leaders, if not all of our leaders, are very aware of this. So you all, you know, most people know who our leaders are in this church. If you're in a department, if you're in a group of people that has a leader, they know how to work this and get you set up. It is really simple in regards to getting it set up. So go in there and download the app and then just find our church. If it's not easily, it's just one word, full word, United Pentecostal Church, and it should come up. So, you know, like I said, you don't have to set everything up right now, and you definitely don't have to understand everything today, because we don't understand everything either from the perspective of all the tools, because there's a lot of tools that we can use with this. It's about getting the app on your phone and just taking the first step, right? So after service, I said I'll be in there to help out in the hall. So if technology isn't your thing, that's fine. We're here to help, and like I said, no rush. So we talked about a little vision last week, right? Having our vision statement put together. So what is the vision and then the heart behind this? This app will help us care for each another better and more clearly, and grow stronger as a church family. Over the next few weeks, we'll continue showing you how to use and how it can serve you. And it'll be integrated into our service, just, you know, reminders and just how to, you know, maybe use something where we're going to use something a little different. We'll let you know. It won't be all in one big bite. So take a moment, download it. I appreciate y'all doing that. So we're very excited in what God is doing in the UPC of Paris, right? Yeah. And we believe this will help us stay connected and we move forward and help us move forward together. So at this time, I'm going to invite Brother Randy Armstrong to come. He's going to take us in through the announcements and offering, and then he's going to help lead us into these singers into worship. Thank y'all so much for this morning, for your time.
Praise the Lord. Isn't God good even with technology? If you struggle, find you a lifeline. That's what I do. Us older guys at work, you know, they push all this new stuff all the time, and I'm one of the older. Actually, I think I am the oldest in my position at my location. And whenever they do this, I just find somebody young that can help me. My wife also does. She's another resort. But God is so good. It's so wonderful to be in the house of the Lord this morning as we're kicking off 2026. I'm just excited about what this year holds for us at United Pentecostal Church of Paris. I'm excited. I know the Lord's ready to take us into deeper things, greater things for our community, and equipping us to do that. And I think this little app will probably help us be better and to communicate better. Thank you, Brother Micah, for all your efforts getting us ready to move into this. He's a great resource if you need help. And I'm going to go ahead and get started with announcements, and then we'll kick off. I'm going to do some announcements since we're in kind of an announcement mode right now. Today, following service, there will be a chicken spaghetti luncheon at the R.L. Meyer Center. And you can also get it to go if you don't want to stay and eat. You can get a plate to go, and that's immediately following service across the way at the R.L. Meyer Center. Also, January 18th, there's going to be AM and PM service. The Right Road Quartet will be here in our PM service singing, so we're excited about that. That's coming up. January 25th is Communion Sunday, and there's going to be one AM service on the 25th, and it'll be our Communion Sunday. Tuesday, January 27th at 6 p.m. is Ladies United Fellowship at the Fish Fry. Also, a family revival. Everybody say family revival. Family revival begins February 8th through the 10th, and we're also going to follow the following week. We're going to have Faith and Family Sunday, February 15th, with Brother Mark and Sister Paula Foster. So we got some exciting things coming up. Some exciting. Remember our 21 days that we're in the midst of, and we are getting ready for some great things to happen. Let's stand this morning. With these praise singers are back here chomping at the bits, get ready to lead us in worship. How many's ready to worship the King this morning? Has he done something for you this week? I don't know about you, but he's brought me a mighty long way. And he's not only brought me, Brother Jeff, he's kept me along the way. I'm thankful he didn't kick me to the curb. He's ever heard that expression, getting kicked to the curb. I've given him opportunities to do it, Brother Jerry, but he's kept me. I'm so thankful for his keeping power this morning. And it's such a privilege and an honor to be able to come to his house and worship him with great people like you. And we're going to ask our praise team to come and lead us in that right now. Let's worship together this morning. Praise the Lord.
Get past my blame until he called my name. I'm so glad he changed me. Darkness held me down, but Jesus pulled me out. I'm no longer bound. I'm so glad he changed me.
See, I'm now a new creation in Christ. The old has gone, there's new life. I live by faith. Change me.
Now I'm walking free. I've got the victory. See, it's all over me.
I'm so glad he changed me. See, I'm now a new creation in Christ. The old has gone, there's new life. I live by faith, not by sight. There is a new
song, and I will praise you.
I won't let the stones cry. I won't let the stones cry out. I will praise you. Something in me has to. I won't let the stones cry. I won't let the stones cry out.
Find me with the promise, dancing where you prophesy. Still shout of everything you've done. High upon the mountains, I was made to testify. Forever, you will have my song.
Oh, forever, you will have my song. And I will praise you. I won't let the stones cry. I won't let the stones cry out. Something in me has to. I won't let the stones cry. I won't let the stones cry out. And I will praise you. I won't let the stones cry. I won't let the stones cry out. Something in me has to. I won't let the stones cry. I won't let the stones cry out.
The longer the wait, the longer I'll praise. The stronger the pain, the stronger my faith grows.
The higher the need,
the higher I'll reach.
The higher I'll reach. The greater the cause, the more I believe for. The longer the way,
the longer I'll praise.
The longer I'll praise. The stronger the pain, the stronger my faith grows. The higher the need,
the higher I'll reach.
The higher I'll reach. The greater the cost, the more I believe for. And I will praise you. I will praise you. I won't let the stones cry. I won't let the stones cry out. I will praise you.
Something
in me has to. I won't let the stones cry. I won't let the stones cry out.
I'm gonna wait on you, Jesus. Yes, I'm gonna wait on you, Jesus. I'm gonna wait on you, Jesus. I'm gonna wait on you, Jesus.
I'm not turning back now. 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 I'm gonna wait on you, Jesus. 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 I'm not turning back now.
I'm not turning back now.
I'm not turning back now.
I'm not giving up.
I'm not turning back now.
I'm
not turning back now. I'm gonna wait on you, Jesus. I'm gonna wait on you, Jesus. I'm gonna wait on you, Jesus. Wait on you, Jesus. I'm not turning back now. I'm gonna wait on you, Jesus. I'm not turning back now.
I'm not turning back now.
I'm not turning back now.
I'm not giving up now.
I'm not turning back now. I'm not turning back
God, we need to remember Kenda Covey, Dee Dee Freeland, Brother and Sister Griffith, Butler Matthews. Also, we got a special request for Vicki Cornelius that's in special need of prayer this morning. If there's others today, if you have a special need in your life this morning, there's ministers and others that will gather at the front with you. If you'd like to come forward at this time as we enter into prayer for these on our list, if you'd like special prayer, please come at this time. And also, I'm going to ask the ushers to get ready to come after we pray. Let's go to the Lord in prayer for these needs. If you have a need, please come at this time, and others will pray with you this morning. Father, we're so thankful today, Lord, for your presence, oh God, in this house, Lord. Jesus, we pray as our faith is stirred this morning, Lord, as we reach out to you for these needs today, God, that you'd meet the needs in these lives, Lord God. Those that are sick today, Lord, we pray for your healing touch in their life this morning. Strengthen them, Lord, and give them healing today. We believe you this morning. In the mighty name of Jesus, we praise you, Lord. We worship you in this place. Hallelujah. We're going to get our ushers to come this morning as we continue a spirit of worship. We're going to give the Lord this morning with our prayer, with our tithes and offerings. But Lord, we're so thankful, Lord, for the privilege and honor to give into your kingdom. Lord, we pray for you to bless the needs in this house. Lord, bless this offering in the mighty name of Jesus. We worship you. Hallelujah. Y'all give to the Lord this morning. In Jesus' name.
The atmosphere is changing. Nothing stays the same. Heaven is waiting for the mention of the name. The Spirit is moving, burning like a flame, healing the broken by the one we proclaim, raise it up, fill the sky, chains will fall, mountains move, we lift him high, speak the name.
Mountains move, we lift him high.
this morning. How about that? We love you, Jesus. We worship you, God. We praise you this morning. Blessed be your name this morning, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. We worship you, God. We praise you this morning, Lord. There's nobody like you. There's nobody beside you, Jesus. You're holy. You're worthy. You're wonderful. You're mighty. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. Hallelujah. Amen. Nobody like Jesus. That's pretty weak. Nobody like Jesus. Man, what a good God he is.
Amen. Yes, he is. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Not a good God, what a great God he is. I mean, I know, you know, that none of us would be here today if it wasn't for the mercy of God. I mean, God's been so good to us. He's been so gracious to us. And I'm just so thankful that we can feel his presence. We can experience his power. And he's such a good God. And I'm thankful today that you're here. And I pray you've had a great weekend so far. And our prayer is always you have a better weekend when you leave church. Amen. That's what it's about. Amen. And I want to preface this today before I speak. We spoke Wednesday night from a subject entitled That God Cannot Fail. And we talked a little bit in that message on it is our job to keep the faith, to have the faith during these times of wondering, man, has God forgotten? Has God failed me? And I felt to expound a little bit on that faith topic, if you will. And so this morning I'm turning to just one verse in your hearing. It's a verse, no doubt, if you've come to church any length of time, you've probably heard this verse. If not, if it's new, you'll hear it a lot if you start coming to church. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, the Apostle Paul says these words, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." Everyone said, we walk by faith, not by sight. Amen. I want to preach to us today on those two words simply, by faith. By faith. Let's pray. Lord, we love you today. Thank you for your word. We ask you, God, to anoint us, Lord, to speak to us today. Let your word, I pray, go forth with clarity and anointing. God, help me, Lord, to deliver your heart for these great people. In Jesus' name we pray. Everyone said amen. God bless you in Jesus' name. Thank you for standing. You may be seated this morning. For we walk by faith, not by sight. As I said a couple of seconds ago, if you have been coming to church for any length of time, faith is one of those words that we hear a lot spoken about. If you'll listen to the lyrics of the songs we sing, at times you will hear the word directly used, and at other times you'll hear it implied throughout our songs. When you open the Bible and begin to read, the word faith begins to appear over and over again. The word faith appears in the King James Version approximately 336 times. Faith is a word that has been looked at by preachers, scholars, saints alike for thousands of years. Faith has been studied. Faith has been pondered over. Faith has been pursued. And faith has been reached for, all in an effort to try and somehow grasp what really lies beneath that five-letter word called faith. All in an effort to try and figure out how can we access, if you will, explosive, miraculous, saving faith. You can just do a quick search and you'll find that there has been many conferences solely dedicated and focused on that word faith and how to access faith. I would dare say, aside from the name of Jesus Christ, faith is one of the most frequently used and most studied concepts in the entire Bible. Just a quick Google search of the word faith and you will have 25 pages at your disposal to go and peruse through on that one word called faith. Everyone loves God, and everyone who loves God wants more faith. We sung a song years ago, if you were in the hymn book days, that simply said, faith, 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 just a little bit of faith. Our text this morning again told us, Paul speaking, that you and I in this Christian journey living for God, we walk by faith and not by sight. Merriam-Webster defined faith as an allegiance to a duty or to a person. But the biblical definition of faith goes much deeper. Biblically, faith is considered a belief and trust in God based on good evidence, but without total proof. To have faith is to trust that God is there and that He is working on our behalf, even though we cannot see Him. In the New Testament, faith comes from the Greek word pistis, which means trust and confidence in God. The English word for faith has its roots tied to a Latin word, which simply means to trust. I told us this past Wednesday evening, if you were able to be here, that trust is the foundation for that word we call faith. Biblical faith equals trusting God and His promises with your whole heart and letting that trust shape how you live. Doesn't matter who you are in this journey living for God, one of two things will happen in every believer's life over their lifetime, and that is, you will either be shaped by a strong belief and a faith towards God, or they will be shaped, or you will be shaped by unbelief and skepticism in God's ability to work. Either way, our lives are going to be shaped by either belief or unbelief. Scripture makes it clear that living by faith is how God has called believers to walk. Hebrews 11:6, we know the scripture well. It said that without faith, it's impossible to please God. Now, I'm not going to attempt today and give a Greek study on that word faith, but I do believe it's important to have a good understanding and a foundation. And so I'll just expound a little bit here. And the key Hebrew word behind what we call faith in English is a word called, I think, emunah. If I'm pronouncing that wrong, and you're a Greek and Hebrew scholar, come see me. Amen. This word is translated faith, faithfulness, steadfastness, trust, or reliability. It's just not just intellectual belief, but it refers to a life that is oriented towards trust and loyalty in God. Its root is from a word you probably heard before, a word called eman, meaning to trust, support, stand firm, be reliable. It's the root word you hear all the time. We bless your food, we say amen. We pray, we say amen. It simply means so be it, expressing firm agreement or trust in what was said. So before the Bible spoke English, the ideal we translate as faith in the Old Testament, it was expressed with words such as trust and loyalty and steadfastness toward God. So Faith is a word. I think if you're honest with me today, if you love the Lord, faith is a word that all of us are after. I think we'd all agree we want more of that word called faith. Anybody? So how does one gain faith? How does one acquire faith? First of all, you have to know that faith is not something you earn by your own human effort. But rather, faith is something God deals to every man, woman, and child. Paul would write in Romans chapter 12 and verse 3, and he would say, "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according to God, according as God has dealt every man the measure of faith." Now, that particular verse in context, Paul is speaking of when you become a believer in Christ and God gives you purpose, God gives you a role, if you will, God gives you a calling, if you will, that you shouldn't think more highly of yourself because it's God, the one that gave you that ability, and he's dealt that measure of faith. That's what Paul is actually trying to communicate in this particular verse in context. But that verse goes a whole lot deeper than just what a role that God has given us, but it applies in every area of our life when you understand that it is God who is the giver of faith. Faith that God gives, it comes alive and it grows. How? By hearing the word of God. Romans 10, 17, Paul again said, "So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Let me just give a little plug here, a candy stick. That's why the enemy of your soul, that's why the adversary who, whether you believe it or not, he's more alive than some of us are alive today. And he goes about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. That's why he is adamantly after your time. That's why he does everything he can to make you believe the Bible is the most boring book on the planet. That's why it's one of the hardest books to read. The adversary understands that faith comes by hearing, and that's not just preaching, but alone time with his word. It don't matter how it comes. Faith comes by hearing. When I read his word, when I ingest his word, it gives birth to faith. It gives birth to the supernatural realm, if you will. That's, I'm going to say it again, it is of utmost importance. I could preach in this pulpit, if God gave me 50 years in this pulpit, I could preach every service about faith and we not grasp it one time if we've not been dutiful in studying the word ourselves, in reading the word ourselves on a consistent basis. That is what grows your faith. That is what gives you the ability to keep on believing when everything's falling apart. It is vital that you stay in the word of the Lord. It is vital that you stay following after his word on a daily basis. Never will forget, years ago, my sister had just moved to Eugene, Oregon. She had just got married. She was very young, and of course she left home, and it was quite of a culture shock going to the Northwest. It's a different world than Southeast Texas, especially Eugene, Oregon. It's polar opposites of Southeast Texas. And when she got there, she faced great anxiety, and she faced lots of, man, just crazy things coming against her. It wasn't necessarily the devil. It was just life. She had left home. She was fighting all these fears and all these doubts, and she got in contact with Sister Nona Freeman, and she said, "Sister Freeman, I have been struggling for months since I've been here to try to get through this anxiety, get through this fear of whatever it is I'm fighting, being away from home." And Sister Freeman gave her the greatest advice that I'll give to you today. It's simple, but it's powerful. She said, "Baby, this is what you got to do, and this is how you overcome it. You start reading the Bible, and you read it till you love it. You don't read it till you get bored about it. You read it till you love it. Because reading Deuteronomy ain't very much fun.
Reading Leviticus and every begat, it probably ain't the funnest thing to do. But if you'll stay reading that thing, after a while, it'll all make sense and things start coming together. And you realize I'm not just reading some genealogy, but I'm reading the blood, the Christ Jesus, God have mercy, who's intertwined all through from Genesis to Revelation and what he's trying to do. And I know I paused for a minute and a half for a commercial, but just stay with the preacher right now. Some of you right now are fighting things or battling things in your spirit that a preacher will not be able to preach you out of, that a song can't sing you out of. God, I feel it this morning. You can listen to that song and you can feel a breakthrough in your spirit for a couple of minutes, but you wonder, why am I still struggling? I'm going to tell you why, what's going on. I believe the Lord wants me to tell you and impress on you, if you'll learn to get consistent in the word of the Lord, if you'll make it a priority in your life, there's going to come a day when you look up and what's been ailing you is going to be on the back burner, and before you know it, it's going to be in your rearview mirror. Why? Because the word of the Lord is sure, and heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall never pass away. Your problem will pass away if you'll just get in the word. Your trouble is going to pass away if you'll just read the book till you love the book. Your anxiety can go away if you'll just fall in love with the word of the Lord. Without hearing the word of God, faith is non-existent in a person's life. Faith remains dormant, if you will, or undeveloped. But when the word was heard, when the first time, if you will, that you heard the word, when you heard the gospel preached, the Spirit of the Lord allowed faith to stir in you, and you exercise that faith, and you made a choice to obey the word. And you made a choice not to obey the preacher, but to obey the word, because the Bible talks about this, and I don't want to butcher the text, but the Bible speaks about your spirit bearing witness, that when you heard the word of the Lord, it's like when someone can preach and you feel this, man, amen, I believe. What is that? That is your spirit bearing witness. That is your spirit saying, I agree, amen, so be it. And when you heard the gospel preached for the first time, or when someone taught you a home Bible study for the very first time and you heard the word, you must repent. You must be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For this promise, it's to you, it's to your children, it's to all who are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall. When you heard that, and when your spirit cried out and said, that's what I've been longing for, that's what I've been missing, what was that? That was God enabling faith to come alive on the inside of you, because repentance without faith is nothing but confession to some priest somewhere in a side room. But when you get faith involved, all of a sudden heaven comes down and the blood begins to drop on top of the accusation, and what was held against you is erased. That's why you walked in bound, but you left out free. Why? Because faith got involved.
Amen. When he put you down in a watery grave, the lovely name of Jesus. Amen. I don't know how many times, and you're a testimony to this, no doubt, and you've witnessed it, no doubt. How many times people said, man, when I came out of the water, something changed. Anybody that happened to? Anybody felt like a weight lifted off of you? All right, now we're going to have baptism again, because ain't nobody raised their hand. Brother Joel Holmes, years ago, pastor of Little Rock, Arkansas. Now, I don't know if it's the Bible way to do it, but on Easter Sunday, he baptized his entire church again, and he was running 2,000 plus then. Remember, try to imagine that baptismal service. Did anybody feel better when you were baptized? I'm going to try it again. Did anybody feel better when you went down? My God, folks, either we believe or we don't believe. It's okay to talk back to the preacher. It's allowed in this church, amen? When I went down in my little 8-year-old brain, and when I came up, I couldn't explain everything that happened, but I couldn't deny what had happened.
Transformation had taken place. Baptism, what was it? It was faith. It wasn't the preacher. It wasn't who was doing it. It was faith that God's word said, if I repent and if I'm baptized, he'll wash away all of my sins. He'll remove it as far as the east is from the west. And when he forgets, he's got a very good forgetter. He doesn't bring it back up like the accuser of the brethren does. But when God forgets, it's forever wiped away. And God, I feel a different rabbit right here. But you may have repented 1,000 times and asked the Lord 1,000 times to forgive you. Hear this preacher today. You need to repent for the last time. God has already forgiven you. God has already wiped the slate clean. Amen. So it was faith. You believed. And it wasn't just mental ascension. You felt something inside of you reach out. Lots of times repentance is with tears and baptism. And then came that glorious infilling of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Can't, and I ain't got time for a Bible study on this today, but I'm going to just insert this. That the Holy Ghost, it's not jibber-jabber. Can't nobody teach you the Holy Ghost? I had a man years ago, I've told you this story, a dentist, a very well-off man. I've told you his name was Dr. Poor Man, but he was not a poor man. And when I first met him and his wife, and they were very, very uppity people, and I never forget him. On a Thursday night midweek service, I was over here. He was behind us talking to the pastor, and I overheard him say he was going at the time to Hardin-Simmons University to learn and taking a class on speaking in tongues. And the pastor very wisely didn't rudely say anything, but explained to him, folks, it ain't something a man can teach you, but when the Holy Ghost comes in the side of you, it is a real gift. And God will speak through you in a heavenly language. And it's not just for a few people. It's not relegated to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and the gifts of the Spirit. That is totally separate from what happened in the book of Acts. What happened in 1 Corinthians is gifts given to the church to edify the body. But what happened in the book of Acts is for every single person who has ever lived and ever will live. The Holy Ghost is for you. If you don't have it today, you can leave with it before you leave. Amen. And that's why when you had faith and you reached out and God forgave and you were baptized and you were filled with the Spirit, and now all of a sudden you had a whole world open to you. Now all of a sudden you believe God for anything. Anybody was there? You believe God could do anything. And when you tried telling your unbeliever friend, they thought you were stupid. Is that Bible? Yeah, that's the Bible. Paul said this in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to those who are being saved, it is the power of God. So don't be discouraged when someone says you've lost your mind. Don't write them off. Don't hate them. Love them. But just remember, it's going to be foolish to those who don't have the faith. But when you responded to the faith, when you responded to God enabling you to believe, now all of a sudden your life has been totally transformed. Your eyes have been opened like scales have fallen from your eyes. Why? Because he drew you. And when he drew you, you responded to the call. And today, God help me today. I don't want to preach on this forever, but if you have not experienced the power of the Holy Ghost before you leave this house today, if you're hungry for God, I promise you God's going to come by this way in a few minutes, and God wants to draw you to an altar of repentance, to an altar of salvation. But after you received saving faith, this new world of faith opened up to you through God's word. And as you began to hear the word preached, or as you began to read his word, all of a sudden you begin to see story after story of faith being lived out. You begin seeing story after story of those who lived by faith. We start at the foundation, Hebrews 11:3. The Bible says in Hebrews 11, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen are not made of the things which are visible. Now, I could stop right here, dismiss, and go home if you really believe that verse. Let me just ask the class today. Class, do you believe? Keep that verse up, Sister Ava, if you would, please. Do you believe that the worlds were framed by the Word of God?
Amen. Yes.
Yes. You don't have to get. You don't have to believe. It's okay. Let me just ask again. Do you believe that things which are seen were not made of things which are visible? Meaning, when God started in the beginning, the earth was, it was void, without form, and God said, let there. The Bible says it's by faith we understand. Why can't you stop there and go home and close your Bible? Because if you can believe that, the thing right now that feels like it's going to eat your lunch, the trouble right now that seems to be sitting so heavy on top of you this morning, and you wonder, is God going to make a way? If you got faith to believe that He created that out of nothing, then what is this that seems to be smacking at your heels, telling you that God can't? All you got to do is say, no, no, no. If He created the worlds by just speaking the word, He can say one word to my situation, and that which seems dormant, that which seems lost, God can bring it all back into the picture. He just wants you to know today, I need you to have a kind of faith that says, I believe in God, not just for me, but I believe, God, it's big enough for my brother, for my sister, for my church. I believe, God, you can do whatever you want to do. Faith is confidence in what God promises. Hebrews 11:1, you know it. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things. What is this? We see here the nature of faith. Faith is confidence in what we hope for. Faith is conviction about what we cannot see. Faith, the Bible even says, it pleased God. We already quoted, if you don't have faith, you can't even please God. The Bible lists, Hebrews chapter 11 is the hall of faith. If you read through this over and over and over, you see this line. And starting in verse 4, it says, by faith, Abel brought a better offering than Cain did. It said, by faith, he was commanded as righteous when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, Abel still speaks, even though he's dead. By faith, he said in verse 5, chapter 11 of Hebrews, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. Amen. Verse 7, by faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, he built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that is in keeping with faith. By faith, Abraham, the Bible says, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, what did he do? He obeyed. He went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he said, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him for the same promise. He's simply saying, when you read these stories, God didn't put them in here just to fill up pages. He put them in here for our admonition, to let us know everything they did in the word was by faith. Everything you'll do in this life is by faith. And when you realize it's not just some cute fairy tale, but when you realize that God really does take care of his people, when you really do trust in the Lord, when trust really is the foundation of who you are, then it all begins to make sense. What do you mean, preacher? Because even if God makes it work for my good, whatever happens, he's in control. And in the end, it'll all work together for good to those who are called according to his purpose. Everyone said mature faith. Christian faith grows a lot, if you will, like a plant. It's got to be nurtured. It's got to be exercised, if you will. And it must be rooted in God. I've already established that, number one, faith grows by hearing God's word. Faith also grows when you believe what you hear. It's not just hearing. It's believing what God says. Thirdly, faith grows as you live it out. Faith, again, it grows when you step out and when you act on God's word. The more you live out what you believe, the stronger your confidence becomes. And faith grows when your focus is on Jesus Christ. Faith must be centered on Christ. It's not some vague idea. It's not some feeling, but it's keeping your eyes on who Jesus is and what he has done for you that strengthens your trust. I want to say it again. Trust is the foundation for that word faith. By faith, Israel marched around Jericho until it fell. By faith, the lady with the issue of blood, she went and she crawled, she made her way, however you want to put it, through the crowd until she found Jesus. By faith, about 120 gathered together in an upper room, and they waited and they tarried for the promise of the Holy Ghost that had been promised. If you'll go and if you read the accounts, the Bible says at one point he showed himself to around 500 people. I don't know why only about 120 got there. Except faith. Except I just believe that he said, if you'll go, if you'll tarry, if you'll wait, my promise is coming on you. And the Bible says after 7 to 10 days, the Holy Ghost did descend. The Spirit of God did fall. Well, that's just words on a page. I know it is, but I got the same experience, so I know it's real. So it's not just something that I've heard about. It's something I experienced by faith. So when someone tells me stuff like, how's God going to grow this thing? How's God going to do what he said he would do? How's God, preacher, going to do what he told you on March the 9th in that prayer room back there that he would send a Red River revival to this? How's that going to? I'm going to tell you how. It's going to be by faith, and faith in his word, and faith in his promises that are yea and that are amen. And I'm telling you again, they're going to come from the north, from the south, from the east, and from the west, and from every color of skin, from nationality, from ethnic backgrounds. It does not matter. God is going to grow this church by faith. I'm going to say it again. God is going to grow this church by faith. But here's a verse that'll scare you. Faith without works. Oh, God, preacher. I thought it just came by faith. Oh, no, no. Faith has to have legs attached to it. Faith has to get in the nitty-gritty, in the dirty, if you will, with people at times. Faith's got to go where it's not comfortable to go at times. I preached a message years ago. I ain't preaching to today, I promise. But the ugly side of faith, that dirty side of faith, yeah, I'm telling you, it's people who are messed up from the floor up, who've got nothing left to give in life but trouble and addiction, and they've served a lot of time, and lots of them, and even those who are good, quote-unquote, people, their lives are ravaged by heaviness and depression, and the church has got to be on her tiptoes by faith, saying, God, make me available, saying, God, make me an instrument you can use so when it's time, I can move by faith, and I can insert the gospel, I can insert to somebody, there's hope for you. There's life for you. God can save you. God can turn your life around. Everyone said, by faith. This past Thursday, I received a message, and my wife received the same message from a girl in the state of Louisiana. And this young lady contacted us. She said, I want you to know, she said, I had a Bible study with a young lady from Paris, Texas. I said, man, that's pretty wild. She said, yeah, I said, I made this random post back in November. It went viral. Lots of people saw it. And this girl reached out to me through Messenger trying to find out more about who I was, what I believed, etc. And she said, I want you to know that I taught her a Bible study. And she and her youth pastor here in Paris, her youth pastor baptized her in the name of Jesus. And she wants to know, can she come meet you and your wife and pray for God to fill her with the Holy Ghost? Brother Anthony, would you mind coming here right quick, Brother Anthony? I don't want to embarrass you. Come here, Brother. Come on. We love Brother Anthony. Amen. Give him a hand. I want to do something crazy, I promise. He's the one that sent me the picture of the kids sleeping that night. I thought, my God, the kids went to sleep in church. But I'm telling this sister, I'm going to tell something about his story too. But the Lord, what I'm trying to tell you is this. I've said it before. When God brings revival, when God brings harvest, typically it ain't going to happen like you think it's supposed to happen. We got Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night religion so bad it's killing us. We have relegated to the Lord to about 15 minutes at the end of the preacher's sermon, and God help him to get done fast enough so we can get out and get something to eat, right? All the honest people said amen. I'll say it first. Amen. There's lots of times I've said, God, you preach too long, Brad. All right? You can be honest with me today. But we have relegated God to 3 days or to 3 services a week. That God can only move on Sunday and Wednesday. And the Lord, I'm telling you what he's going to do. It's going to blow your mind. He's going to turn this church on its head. And when he does it, it ain't going to happen like you think it's going to happen on padded pews in a beautiful building. It's going to happen in places you never dreamed it would happen. It's going to happen in a coffee shop. It'll happen on your job. It'll happen somewhere you never dreamed. Why? Because God is trying to awaken this church not to pretty traditional Pentecostal religion. God is sick of tradition. He wants people to step out by faith and say, I believe, God, if you can use anybody, you can use me. And I'm happy to report that beautiful African-American girl came to church. My wife and I, my mother-in-law was here. And on FaceTime, that girl, the power of the Holy Ghost fell right over there by the bill where you're sitting. And that girl had never in her life experienced that kind of power. She didn't receive the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues that day. But when she left here, she could not deny, there is a power that is above me and beyond. And she'll be here in church in a little while. She had to go somewhere today. But the Lord's trying to tell this church, I'll bring every ethnic background, I'll bring every nationality if you can just believe by faith. I may have told some of y'all this, and perhaps if you heard it, cool. If you didn't, whatever. If you did hear it, Alec, you didn't hear it, all right? We were at Asa's birthday party the other night, and we were at the table, and we were, I think, discussing Bible verses or something, and he began to tell me, was it Lake Crooks? Where was that at? Lake Crooks, he had taught somebody, two men, or one guy, a Bible study about the essentiality. He needed to be baptized. If you've heard his testimony, when Brother Anthony received the Holy Ghost, it's one of the most powerful testimonies. When he began to speak in tongues, he couldn't stop it. Am I right? It just flowed through. It was an undeniable experience. And an elder in this church had told him, right, when it happens to you, you won't be able to forget this one. And God did an amazing work in his life. But hear me. Here he is. He wasn't preaching on Sunday. He wasn't preaching on Wednesday. He paints. He works by day. He does what he can. But when the opportunity came by faith, you're not hearing me. By faith, he moved and he told me at the table, hey, bro, I baptized that guy in Lake Crook in the name of Jesus. And the guy that was with him, I baptized him too, right? In the name of Jesus. It was all by faith. It was all by faith. I'm telling somebody right now, God wants to move this church from tradition to a by faith church. He wants to move this house from just being ordinary to being extraordinary. I think we can thank God for that right now. What a God, what a God. Woo. God, I done got out of breath. You hear me right now? I take that every day of the week. over some cute boy who can sing and he's got skinny jeans on and he's trying to play and lead a church in worship. My God, I get so sick of being culturally correct. Let's do it just right. God wants to kick every door down and tell us it's not going to be how you thought it would be. I'm going to turn this church upside down. I'm going to use people you never thought I would use. I know it's strange. I know it's weird. I know it's out of the ordinary. It's not every day you baptize people in crooks. Man. Oh, boy. I ain't saying they were crooks, but he took a crook. Come on. Hey, the Bible said about the Apostle Paul. On his way to Damascus to kill a bunch of people and put him in jail. And the Bible said when God got a hold of him, what did he do? He sent him to a street called Straight. And when he got on the street called Straight, here came the prophet Ananias. He said, my God, I heard of this guy, Lord. You know you can't use him. Don't you know what he's done? Don't you know who he is? Sounds about like a lot like us. Don't you know he's not a part of us? He don't see it just like I do. He doesn't have the full truth I have. Oh, God. I bet you good money. I'm not going to bet. If I was a betting man, I bet you good money. The Apostle Paul didn't wait 7 years for the Lord to turn him loose. As a matter, I know he didn't. The Bible says he left there and he began to preach the gospel. The Bible does say he went away for a season, but he was always on duty. Why? Because when God begins to work, when God begins to call people to his kingdom, he doesn't care who they are, what their background is. He doesn't make them pass a six-month class. He don't send them to Bible college for 17 years. Half the time they get out, don't know what they believe. I'm not criticizing Bible school, but I'm trying to tell you, Bible college can't teach you faith, but faith comes by hearing. Faith comes by believing, and then you just act it out. Let's all stand. This church, this local assembly, this people, you people, hear me. God wants to use you by faith. Hello? It is the will of God. Now, I don't want to get in trouble here with your theology. If you believe different, you can come talk to me later. But I don't have the theology that a preacher has to baptize everybody. You just, if they believe and there's water, Scripture said, put them under. In the neck down. Now it matters how you put them under. Put them under in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission, the washing away of the sins. My God, don't let it just be a preacher has to get there. That's crazy. My God, help me. Help us to have mature believers and mature people in the church that realize the preacher ain't got to be there for every little thing. We can do this thing called revival by faith. Joshua and Caleb, probably the greatest tragedy in the Bible. They believed by faith that they could take the land, Brother Jones. They had faith for that. They understood there was giants in the land. They knew their cities were well fortified. They understood that they were probably outnumbered in some areas going to the high country. They knew all of that. But they had seen what God had done in years past. They had seen the Red Sea open. They had seen plagues on Egypt, 10 to be exact. They had seen God make water come from a rock. They seen God put manna in the desert. It was not even nothing they'd ever seen before. God just supernaturally put it there. And when they complained, he brought quail. What a God. But for whatever reason, I don't know why, but only 20% believed it could happen. 80% said, man, can't do it. 10 said we can't. 2 said we can. Anyone know what happened next in that story? The Bible said that God, he did preserve Caleb and Joshua. He did preserve them. But But for whatever reason, the majority in that day, they convinced the rest of the people, we're not strong enough to take this one. We don't have what it takes to have this kind of type of a move of the Spirit. We don't have. I hope I don't step on no toes. We don't have those kind of funds, man, to start seeing that kind of revival. Funds ain't never been God's problem. Hello. I said funds has never been God's problem when it comes to funding His revival. All the Lord asks you to do is move by faith. And that, hear me, that majority, they were the wrong majority, by the way. That majority killed it for 40 years. That's wild. Everybody 20 and up died. Except Joshua and Caleb. And finally, 40 years later, here comes Caleb into the promised land. Hey, Joshua. Moses told me 45 years ago now that I could have that mountain by faith if I wanted it. And I still want it. It don't make sense. He's 85. He ain't walking like he used to walk. Ain't running. He ain't jumping as high as he used to jump. But faith was still alive. And faith said, I believe if I can just get to the top of that mountain, I can get what God gave me. And the Bible says, he got everything the Lord promised. Why? Because when faith is working, when faith is going hand in hand with the will of God, nothing and nobody can stop it. What I'm trying to tell this church is this. I'm telling you right now, when God sends it, and God has already begun to send some things in this house, when God begins to send them to this house, do not legislate how God is supposed to do it. Do not relegate God to a couple of services a week, but let God move on Monday. Let God move on Tuesday. Let God move on Thursday. God help us today to move by faith. Anybody read the Gospels before, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? You read those stories. If you haven't, I encourage you. I read and you live in translation just for me, clarity's sake. It makes sense to me. If the King James is hard for you to understand, read and you live in translation, please. And if you have a problem with that, come talk to me and we'll discuss the Bible. Okay? I mean that. It needs to make sense to you, all right? And I'm saying this on purpose. When you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, everybody he deals with who's building the church are a bunch of misfits. Hello? Rejects. Every one of them just about are at the bottom of the barrel when he finds them. Every one of them don't have it together. Every one of them are going their own way, trying to connive their own plan. But God being God, I've told you before, if God was here today, and don't misunderstand what I'm saying, if God came to America today, I'm afraid he would not come by the UPC of Paris to find his 12. I know that rubs us wrong, but I'm telling you where he would go. I know it. He would go to the place nobody expected him to go. He'd go to a prison where somebody is at the bottom and there's nothing left to hide. They've been exposed to God, if you will. And now all of a sudden he tells them, I think I can use you. He'd go find a Peter, James, and John who were looked down upon in that society for being fishermen. Nobody liked the fishermen. They were just someone who gave fish to people, but they were a lower class of society. Didn't have much money, didn't live in the nicest house, didn't have a great car to drive. But God said, listen, if you'll drop your nets, if you'll follow me, I'll make you fish. Of men. He would go, he would find Matthew, that nasty IRS tax collector who always ripped people off for their money. And he would tell Matthew, I believe God can use you to heal the sick. Had Matthew come here, we'd have said Matthew should go to 6 months recovery. He needs rehab and he needs some medicine to help him get out of this trash. But God said, just spend a few years with me, Matthew, and I can turn your life. What I'm telling you is this, don't put limits on what God wants to do. Probably the greatest story of the entire 12, I've said it before, but it messed with me years ago, was Simon the Zealot, who was that modern-day ISIS terrorist
who was known for terrorizing the Roman government, blowing stuff up, burning stuff to the ground, killing. God said, you're one of mine. That don't make sense to my brain. Why? Why would God use someone like that? I'm going to tell you why. He's after hungry people. I want to know this morning, not me, God wants to know, is there anybody who's hungry for the next wave of the harvest that God wants to send to Lamar County, to this region? He wants us to do it by faith. He wants us to move by faith. We will win by faith. We will do everything God wants us to do by faith. Let's all lift our hands together right now. Jesus, we love you today. As they begin to sing, I think it'd be great this morning to come. Let's all come gather around the front if you're comfortable doing so. If you're not, would you please help me pray in the pew today? God, help me. God, increase my faith. If you've never received the Holy Ghost today, if you've never repented of your sins today, you can repent and God can forgive you. We'll baptize you in the name of Jesus. God will fill you with the Spirit today. Come on, church. Really help me pray. God, increase my faith.
You said,
increase my faith, God.
I believe.
Come on, church, we can do this thing called
you
revival.
Say
it's all by faith.
It is done.
Hallelujah.
You said.
Come on, make it personal.
I believe.
Help me, God, to move by faith.
You said.
Come on, somebody.
It
oh,
is
God,
done.
Oh, God, oh, God. Different women in the Gospels who funded Jesus' ministry.
and study their history, they didn't have the greatest history. One of them had seven devils, and God cast them out, and it was people. I'm telling you, it's not belittling anyone here, but I'm trying to tell us what God is going to do. I promise you, it's going to be above and beyond us. And I'm not just saying this as cliche. I'm telling you what I know by faith. These walls cannot contain. That's not to hype you up. I'm just telling you, they cannot contain what the Lord wants to do. And let me just step out here and hit it because I feel it. It's not about just the United Pentecostal Church of Paris. God's going to send an earth-shattering revival to our ALJC brothers. This ain't no competition with letters in front of your name. That's a bunch of hogwash, and God is sick of stuff like that. Whoever preaches the truth, God's going to send a revival. We can believe it or not believe it. God is trying to awaken us to realize I'm ready to send it not just to one local church. God is so sick of territorial fights and goofiness and getting all weird. They go to our church. They go to our, who cares? If they preach the truth, who cares? Let's just see revival together in the name of Jesus by faith. If they grow, we rejoice. If they hurt, we all hurt. If they mourn, we all mourn. Amen. I'm telling you, God, I mean, you hear me? The walls here. Not because of Brad. I didn't bring jack squat. I ain't nothing. But the temperature of the Spirit, God's going to send something above and beyond us. And it's going to be like we're not used to seeing. I end with this. The last 3 years, Jen and I were in the Houston area. I saw God double that church. But what amazed me about that is lots of times God brought in people who I didn't think he'd bring in. I'm telling you. I've told you the story of Katie Robinette, who, when I got there in 2015, her and her husband, very, very, it was a family that God needed to work on, okay? And God worked on them, and it was a miracle. Donald and Katie. But they left. I didn't see them for 7 years. And what amazed me about God is that God don't give up easy. And I preached one Sunday, not even knowing what I was preaching, Brother Price. And I preached, just pray one more time. We had Monday night prayer meeting that week, and the Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, pray for Katie one more time. And I thought, man, I didn't pray for her 1,000 times. Why am I going to pray again? I ain't lying. And I prayed one more time. God, it wasn't no intercessory prayer. It was just God touch Katie, God save them, God touch Donald. That was it. The next morning, I have a Facebook messenger to my wife and I from Katie. What time does church start on Wednesday night? I'm preaching Wednesday night. I didn't even know she was there. And when I got done, she's in the altar. And I didn't even think about it until I laid hands on her. And the Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, what you prayed for Monday night, I've allowed to be here tonight. I'm allowing you to pray through what you prayed for one more time over. 7 years gone, but God said, just pray one more time. By faith, God can bring them home. By faith, God can turn it around. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Lord, we love you, Jesus. Thank you for this great church. Help us, I pray, God, never to give up. God, help us to take the blinders off today. Help us not to have blinders on about who's welcome here, God. That's so foolish. God, I pray, kick that stuff to the curb. Help us see what you see, God. Help us, I pray, in the name of Jesus, to pray one more time by faith that, God, the harvest you're going to send here is above and beyond us, God. We can't even begin to imagine what it is you want to do through us as a body. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. I'm talking to people today who you have thought for years that the preacher was responsible for every Bible study, for every person being baptized, and the Lord wants to change your mind. How many times have I gotten this? Well, you just call my preacher. He'll tell you what to do. No. If you don't know what to do, something's wrong. And if not, we're going to teach on that. I mean, it's the will of God for everybody to be little bitty preachers leaving this house. Little bitty ambassadors leaving this house. Celebrate recovery. You hear me? It's going to be a launching pad. I'm telling you what the Holy Ghost is going to do in this house. When God opens it up here, it's going to launch stuff in this church. Well, what if we don't keep them all? It don't matter. You just do what you can do. And God will bring them to us like he did on Facebook today. Someone never dreamed in my life being in this pew praying for the Holy Ghost. I didn't make that stuff up. God does stuff like that. You just do what you can do and God will do the rest by faith. Amen? Praise God. We love you. God bless you in Jesus' name. Thanks for coming. Don't forget, 6 p.m. service tonight.